You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Today, two out of every three Americans are obese. Despite rising rates of gym membership and being told to cut out the fat from our diets, Americans have gotten fatter over the last 20 years. A new documentary called Fed Up looks at how the American diet has changed since the 1980s and how sugar became a major ingredient in almost every aisle of the grocery store. Joining me now is Laurie David. She's executive producer of Fed Up, which opens today at the Angelika Film Center. I'm very pleased that it has brought her back to our show today. Hello.
Hi there.
Where did we get the idea that exercise is linked to weight gain?
Well, I think the movie explores this in depth, but we've got a lot of conventional wisdom that we're dealing with here, that a calorie is a calorie, and as long as you exercise enough, you will maintain some sort of balance.
Well, but exercise is good.
Exercise is essential for good health, but we cannot exercise our way out of the obesity epidemic. And if you just look at one small stat from the movie, which is a child who drinks one soda a day would have to be on a bicycle for an hour and 15 minutes to get rid of that soda. There's really just not enough hours in the day to exercise this food off.
So does the emphasis on exercise also carry the implication that if we're fat, it's our own fault?
Well, I think it's part of the food industry mantra that if you are heavy, it's because you are lacking willpower. And I think that's been the conventional wisdom for a long time. And I think one of the powerful things about Fed Up is that we really go after these myths, and I think we debunk them pretty powerfully.
All of the doctors in the film say that the behaviors we associate with obesity are the result, not the cause of obesity.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's something that will surprise people also. It's not just about being overweight or obese. It's about being sick. And I think, the movie is really about, why is everybody getting so sick? I remember growing up, you never knew somebody who had cancer or diabetes. And today, everyone has it. So,
well, cancer maybe because people are living longer. But diabetes, we do see something of an epidemic in this country.
A huge epidemic. There's an article in the paper today saying that diabetes is on the rise for children and teens.
One of the key ideas of the film is that not all calories are created equal. What makes some calories different from others?
Well, I think that if there's some basic common sense to this. I don't think it has to be brain surgery, but if you think about the calories you're getting from eating, for example, a handful of almonds, and the calories you're getting from drinking a soda or a glass of juice, they're not equal. But the food industry and the beverage industry says that they are. But the science doesn't support that.
Why are the nuts better?
Well, it's just how it's metabolized in your body, right?
And it's the fiber?
It's the fiber for sure. But when when something is really laden with sugar, it gets – see, I'm not the best on science here. But we have a really fantastic graphic in the movie that shows it and explains it. And it's the way it goes directly to your liver and gets metabolized that makes the difference.
And the film focuses on – the calories we get from sugar. Is that because Americans are getting more and more of their calories from sugar?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. There is a safe amount to consume of sugar, okay? So for an average woman, it's about 6 teaspoons a day maximum. For an average man, it's about 9. But most people are consuming about 22 teaspoons a day, which is, an incredible amount of sugar. But the problem is that they're not even aware they're consuming it. So if you're eating ice cream all day or donuts or whatever, you probably know you're having a lot of sugar, but you don't necessarily know you're consuming sugar when you're using your store-bought salad dressing or store-bought spaghetti sauce or healthy granola bars. It's added to all these foods. Of the 600,000 items in a supermarket, 80% have added sugar in them.
Well, at least that granola bar has some fiber in it. Those other things have very little fiber.
You know what? The granola bars and fruit yogurts. I mean, fruit yogurts are marketed as a healthy breakfast. They're really a dessert. It will shock people. First of all, when you go see this movie, even if you think you know a lot about food, you are going to learn something from this film. You're going to learn a lot. And second of all, the first thing you're going to do is go home and start looking at the labels in your own cupboard, and you will be floored by how much sugar is in things. And also, by the way, they measure it by grams, right? So I'm a cook. I don't even know what a gram is. So why isn't it measured by teaspoons? So 4 grams equal 1 teaspoon. Now I have to do this math lesson to figure it out.
When you look on the label on, let's say, a yogurt, it tells you how much of the various ingredients in the yogurt fulfill our daily requirement, except when you get to sugar, where it's blank.
Isn't that curious?
How did that happen?
Well, I think you have to go to FedUp to really uncover that story, but we do uncover it.
And the reason is that the sugar lobby has...
They've
pressured.
Exactly. And the food industry doesn't want you to know how much of your daily intake is in that product, because if it did, you would realize that that's the only thing you could eat in the day with sugar in it.
Now, there's sugar in vegetables and in whole fruits.
Right. And that's natural sugar. And because of the fiber, you can metabolize it in a healthful way.
Many of us assume that if we burn the same number of calories that we eat, that we won't gain weight. In the film, science writer Gary Taub says that the idea of energy balance is absurd. Is that because it's impossible to burn the calories that we get from sugar fast enough?
You can't burn them fast enough, and there are not enough hours in the day to do it. And if you think about, you know, people are having sugar at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Think about the default breakfast in America for every kid and most adults is a big glass of orange juice and a bowl of sugary cereal. You're already starting your day over what your maximum should be, and sugar craves sugar.
And when I go to the gym and I'm on the elliptical or on the treadmill or something like that, and it tells me how many calories I've burned so far, I'm always disappointed. I've done an awful lot of work. And I haven't gotten rid of that many calories,
exactly.
At least according to the machine. I'd like to believe the machine is wrong.
And here's another problem. So in a lot of gyms, and in fact, the last YMCA I was in the lobby of these places, they're selling food. So while you're burning off your calories, you can smell the French fries and the chicken fingers down the lobby. That's a problem, too.
My guest is Laurie Davis, who is the executive producer of a new film called Fed Up, which opens today at the Angelica Film Center. The film does list 56 different names for the sugar that appear in our food. Does our body know the difference between any of these sugars, or do we process them all the same way, no matter what they're called?
This, I think, is one of the shocking revelations of the movie, that once you swallow it, all sugar is the same. So whether it's agave or it's natural cane sugar or it's maltose or it's high fructose corn syrup, it's all metabolized the same.
And 80%, the film reveals, of the 800,000 products that are sold in grocery stores have added sugar.
Yes. Yes. And they're listed, you know, when you look
at... I'm sorry, 600,000. I added 200,000.
Of the 600,000 items in a supermarket, 80% have added sugar in them. And they're all listed differently. So you can look at one label and you could see sugar listed. And then if you look a little further down, you start seeing other names for sugar listed.
Mm. Well, if you have, let's say, sugarless jam, they're going to use a fruit juice to add that sugar.
Fruit juice is sugar.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really not sugarless. The other thing that the other strategy that most people rely on is low fat.
Right.
But one of your contributors in the film says, well, when you take the fat out, you take a lot of the flavor out. And how do you replace that flavor? Sugar.
You pour in the sugar. And that's what the food industry did. And to this day, when you walk through the supermarket, there is a low-fat, non-fat option of everything. I mean, basically, they created a whole new category of product to sell. And people think they're choosing something healthier. And in actuality, they're not.
So the low-fat options that we've been led to believe are healthier aren't really healthier?
Well, many of them have less fat, more sugar.
The American Heart Association's guidelines call for a daily allowance of added sugar that's between 6 and 9 teaspoons. But the film says we consume 22 teaspoons a day.
You know what? That's a safe threshold. You don't need any added sugar, by the way. Your body makes the sugar it needs to survive. So, you know, to say 6 to 9 teaspoons is a safe threshold, but we are consuming way more than that.
Well, 13, you're saying. We and in the film, things that you outline three meals that don't look terribly unhealthy, but they add up to 41 teaspoons.
Right. That's right. That's right. And that's in one day. And that's a child's. And by the way, that diagram in the film didn't account for any of the other snacks those kids were probably grabbing or getting from their friends or that were brought to school. That was really just a basic breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it was way over the maximum of what they should be having.
The dietary guidelines fall under the purview of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which is also in charge of promoting agricultural trade and helping the nation's farmers, many of whom are producing ingredients for foods that are high in sugar. Did that create a conflict of interest for the agency?
I think it's a huge conflict of interest, completely. I mean, on the one case, you know, we use the example of cheese, that the U.S. government is promoting cheese. In fact, do you remember a time when cheese was not an ingredient? It was actually something that you had like before a meal or after a meal, a little bit with a cracker. Well, all of a sudden, we had this excess of cheese, and the government came up with all these ideas how to sell more cheese, right? And Michael Moss of Salt, Fat, and Sugar is interviewed in the film, and he goes through this very clearly. And it's a huge conflict of interest.
What happened to the McGovern report that was issued in 1977 that contained dietary guidelines for the first time?
Well, I don't know if your listeners remember the McGovern report. I certainly did not remember it, but I was floored. That was one of the many things in this film when we were making the movie. The director, Stephanie Schotig, uncovered, which was that, you know, 30 years ago, the U.S. government knew the American diet was going off the rails. I mean, imagine that, 30 years ago. So that was before the snack food industry explosion, before the liquid beverage explosion. They knew that we were eating too much sugar.
So they just ignored the McGovern report?
Well, it got squashed, you know, follow the money.
He is the candidate who was most soundly defeated in the history of American mm-hmm. politics. But we would hope that people would have paid some attention to this.
Well, I don't think the American public ever actually heard it. You know, that report also suggested that people consume less meat. You know, none of this really came out, got to the public. It got squashed by the lobbyists at the time.
My guest is Laura David, who is the executive producer of a film called Fed Up, which opens today at the Angelica Film Center. We'll continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with Laura David, who is the executive producer of Fed Up, a film that opens today at the Angelica Film Center. How did you get involved in this film? This is your first project since An Inconvenient Truth, isn't it?
It is. The project started with Katie Kirk, who had been covering the issues of diet and exercise her entire career and was completely baffled as to why the problem kept getting worse. People are getting sicker and fatter. So
she does the voiceover.
She narrates the film. And she lent her heft, her journalistic heft, to the project. She brought in the director, Stephanie Schotig, who had done a film called Tapped. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I got an email one day from Katie Kirk, who I'd only met once in passing at a party. And it said, Lori, do you want to do An Inconvenient Truth of Food with me? And, of course, I responded immediately, yes, of course I do. And a week later, I'm sitting on her living room floor, and we're mapping out storyboards.
Do you see certain parallels between the two movies? In the case of An Inconvenient Truth, we still have people who are, in fact, many people and the majority of Americans who don't believe that there's such a thing as climate change. Are we facing a similar problem with food?
Well, I think there are two similar. I think they are similar in the sense that they're two huge issues with tons of misinformation swirling around them. The difference is that with An Inconvenient Truth, the solution really lies with countries having to cooperate, having to sacrifice, having to step up and show some courage. With Fed Up, the solutions really, the most powerful solutions lie with the individual. So you can leave the theater and you can immediately do something that's tangible that will make yourself healthier and your family healthier, and that is cook or be cooked.
But what about government policy? When the Reagan administration made cuts to the school lunch program, was that when many schools got rid of their cooking equipment, which then, of course, made them dependent on pre-cooked, pre-packaged meals and foods?
Yep, that was not a good day. And, you know, they got rid of the equipment, they brought in the processed food, and that's what we've been feeding American school children. I mean, it's unconscionable when you think about, you know, is that the standards with which we treat our children? I mean, we wouldn't feed them that food at home, you know, we allow it in the schools. So the school lunch program, I mean, that's a solution that has to come from the government. We have to start cooking fresh food again for our kids.
In 2006, it was revealed that 80% of high schools had exclusive contracts with soda company. In 2012, more than half served fast food. And as one cafeteria worker notes in the film, you can't make the food choices for the kids.
Right. Well, you know, what happens is that they have a choice of nachos or chicken fingers, and then, oh, there's a salad bar over there. And they, of course, they have pizza. No, pizza's a vegetable, according to our Congress. So what kid is going to choose the salad bar over the very palatable salt, sugar, fat pizza, or a hamburger and French fries? And but I would argue, would you ask a child what time they want to go to bed? You know, we have to stop giving them bad choices and expecting them to make the right choice. I mean, it's crazy.
President Clinton appears in the documentary, and he says that his administration didn't have enough emphasis on the emerging obesity epidemic. He says we sort of missed it. Mm-hmm. But there must have been clear signs.
I think there were clear signs, but I think they missed it. And I think it's one of the reasons probably he focuses on it in his work now.
Because with the Clinton Foundation.
The Clinton Foundation, yeah.
They are combating childhood obesity through their Alliance for a Healthier Generation. And then there's also the Clinton Health Matters Initiative.
I think all of us have been in a food fog, quite frankly. You know, I mean, it has gotten so out of control, and we haven't really noticed it. If you go into a supermarket today, they're completely booby-trapped. You know, Michael Pollan used to say, just shop the perimeters of the supermarket. Well, that doesn't even work anymore, because these products are everywhere. If you want Pampers, you have to reach across the Doritos display. If you go in the dairy aisle, it is, you know, front to back Easter candy. It's, you can't get away from it. And that's part of the problem, because when you see the food, it cues your brain to want it.
Well, the World Health Organization tried to pinpoint a daily recommendation for sugar consumption in 2002. What happened to that report?
Oh, that got kiboshed also. I think George Bush, that administration kiboshed that. They threatened to withhold United States funding if they came out strong on that. There's incredible footage in the movie showing you some of these historical examples of how we got to where we are.
In 2010, First Lady Michelle Obama launched her Let's Move campaign, and it was received very warmly by a lot of people in the food world, but others complained that it was another example of the nanny state.
Well, first of all, the nanny state, that is such a predictable line that the food industry kind of, you know, trots out. And by the way, nannies take care of our kids, right? Aren't nannies supposed to be good, loving people? Mary Poppins? Let's take Nanny back, okay?
Michael Bloomberg was also criticized for talking about taking some of the sugar out of drinks or having supersized drinks. And again, it was the nanny state thing.
Right. But Michael Bloomberg was right about that. You know, they have lots of research that if you're given a large size, you will drink the large size. If you're given a smaller size, you will drink what's in front of you. So you know what he did? He didn't get that passed, but he sure ignited a conversation around the country, and that was fantastic.
But the Last Move campaign emphasizes exercise, doesn't it? It doesn't talk about less sugar.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering where our Surgeon General has been for the last two decades to warn the American public about sugar and soda and all this juice we're drinking that people think is a healthier alternative. Where's the Surgeon General been?
Have we had a Surgeon General?
We have, and nobody can name him. But you remember the old, remember C. Everett Koop, and they warned us about tobacco and cigarettes, and they warned us about AIDS, and they used to be more powerful, and then, you know, that position has just been usurped, and we need a Surgeon General again.
Well, it's interesting that the cigarette companies, once they finally admitted that they were producing a product that caused illness, They've bought up a lot of the food companies, haven't they?
Isn't that interesting? Maybe that's where they get those tactics from. Must be. There must be a connection.
You feature four kids in the film, each of them trying to lose weight and some of them already facing diabetes. And it's heartbreaking to watch the kids struggle with their frustration and confusion. They've been trying. They've been doing their darnest to control their weight, and it just isn't working.
Well, that's why we had to make this movie, because we have to level the playing field. It is heartbreaking to see families, right, who think they're doing the right thing, who, because the box says healthy on it, they think they're giving them their kids a healthy choice, and yet the kids can't lose weight. So it's time to level the playing field. It's time to have an honest conversation in this country about what we're eating and what it's doing to us. And I really hope Fed Up will be the catalyst for that.
You talk about the phenomenon of thin on the outside, fat on the inside. Is that becoming a growing problem?
Well, I think this is one of the shocking revolutions. I think this is one of the shocking revelations in the film, that you can be, you know, thin on the outside, but you can have all the same metabolic diseases as someone who is obese. But it's actually even more dangerous, because you're thin, you don't know you have it until you get it. So that's a really shocking revelation. If you're eating a diet of processed food, if you're eating a diet high in sugar, you have just, and you're not gaining weight, you have just as much a risk for pre-diabetes as anybody.
My guest is Laurie David. She is the executive producer of Fed Up, a new film which opens today at the Angelica Film Center. What role does marketing play in the choices that kids make?
This is one of my biggest pet peeves. I could talk about marketing for a long time. It's outrageous that we allow these companies to market food that we know is unhealthy to young children. And here's the main reason. If a child is 8 years or younger, they cannot tell the difference between an ad or the content of a show. They think it's someone telling them, you know, that something's good. And I'll give you a very good example. You know, American Idol, a very popular show for the last 14 years, they have these huge Coke cups on the judge's table. Okay, so the marketing crossed the line. It's not just an ad now. It's on the table. So a young kid sees Jennifer Lopez, beautiful Jennifer Lopez, with that big glass of Coke in front of her. The kid isn't thinking, oh, there's water in that glass. She'd never drink that. And that's a paid ad anyway. No, they're thinking, she drinks Coke and Coke is good. I want to be like Jennifer. And that's how, it's not subliminal. Remember in the old days we used to worry about subliminal advertising? Forget that. This is as, you know, in your face as it gets.
We see it in movies as well. Product placement is a major trend in movies.
You know what, though? They are targeting children like they have a bullseye in the middle of their forehead. And they are infiltrating everywhere kids go, even if kids don't watch TV. It's in their cell phones. It's on their video games. It's in their schools. It's everywhere kids go. And it's unethical.
Well, why are the farmers? Why aren't they running ads for vegetables and fruit? And we get all these ads for these products that are unhealthy.
Listen, the food industry has enormous profits. Why? Because the food's so cheap. So they use a lot of the money they make on these products for marketing and advertising. You know, they hire celebrities, adored athletes to endorse this stuff because that works. And it's, you know, a kid really doesn't have a shot. It doesn't have a it's so much harder to lead a healthy life than it is to lead an unhealthy life. And that is not an acceptable legacy for this country, I don't think.
Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa says that the most frustrating thing is the way the deck is stacked against eating healthily.
And he's completely right. What a beautiful senator. He's been fighting this issue his entire time in Congress, and he's interviewed in this movie, and he has some very powerful things to say.
You also include a list of companies who declined to participate. Were you surprised that they declined?
Well, I think it is surprising that we asked, you know, dozens and dozens of companies and not one single person would talk to us. And it's not like we were some unknown filmmakers. You know, we had Katie Couric, and, you know, the fact that nobody would come talk to us, I think, I don't know. What do you make of that?
Well, there was one very revealing interview with Dr. David Allison, who's taken money from the American Beverage Association. And he says that evidence of a link between soda consumption and obesity isn't solid.
Bought and paid for. bought and paid for. And I think the moment with David Allison in Fed Up is one of the great moments in the film.
Is sugar addictive?
Completely addictive. Absolutely addictive. And by the way, the movie makes the case more addictive than cocaine.
Well, it took decades for government agencies to get behind the effort to issue warnings on tobacco products and limit advertising there. Do you think we could see the same sort of thing with food?
I'm actually more optimistic about this than I have been about anything in a long time. But don't you think it's interesting that this e-cigarette thing, which I don't even know what an e-cigarette is, that they're already coming out to regulate that? And that's been out on the market for, what, a couple months, a year? I mean, we're way behind the curve on protecting the American public.
Are we starting to see two American diets, one that's dominated by processed foods that are high in salt and sugar, and another that is filled with home-cooked fruits and vegetables and balanced diets? Some people are saying that to promote the second kind is kind of elitist because poor people just can't afford to get those ingredients, even if they are near a place where it's available. Poor people don't live where there are farmers' markets and really good supermarkets.
I think that's a myth to some extent. I think the access to healthy, real food and food deserts is a real problem. But for people who do have access, it is not cheaper to eat fast food or processed food than it is to make your own food. And I would argue, that you can make a pot of soup with carrots, onions, and some lentils, and you could eat that pot of soup for a couple of days. And we do show in the movie how what the cost of a fast food meal is and the cost of a homemade meal is, and the cost is less for the homemade meal.
And you issue a call of action to action at the end of the film, including a 10-day sugar detox. Having watched your film, it seems almost impossible to cut all of the sugar out.
No, you can do it. And guess what? You will feel so much better. You'll have more energy. You're going to sleep better. You're going to not be as hungry. So I what about you? Do you think you might want to take the 10-day go sugar-free Fed Up challenge?
Well, I eat fairly healthily, and I don't have a lot of sugar in my diet. I don't drink sodas and don't eat any processed food. And yet I still keep on putting on weight. I just say, well, it's because I'm getting old.
You know, I eat very healthily also, but I did notice that I was eating chocolate all the time. And once I eat one square of chocolate, I want another. And there is sugar in things I wasn't as aware of. And I felt a difference when I started to cut sugar out of my diet. I really urge everybody to try it because at the very least, it's just going to give you an awareness of how much you are consuming in a day.
You've also got a cookbook, your second coming out this month. It's called The Family Cooks. Is that a companion to the film in your mind?
It is a companion because it's a solution. And the book is out. It came out last week. And it's easy, fast, healthy recipes. And I would say that you can crave really good food and healthy food if you retrain your palate. You will crave all the good things in this cookbook. And you can make dinner in a short period of time and, enjoy the joy of sitting down and sharing with people you love.
You write that your college-age daughter asked you to move her out of the dorm and into an apartment so that she could have her own kitchen.
I almost fell off my chair when I got that text from her. She said, Mom, I cannot eat this food.
It's a cafeteria food at school.
It's cafeteria at a college. And the college campuses, by the way, some of the worst food environments going. And there was nothing for her to eat. And so she got an apartment with a girlfriend. And now she's Instagramming all these pictures of everything she's making. And that was one of my goals for the cookbook is that my daughters will have this book for the rest of their lives. And they'll be able to cook from it and enjoy from it and have a shot at a healthy future.
You also say that we should avoid kids' menus. They're particularly filled with sugar.
Why do we have such little respect for children that we think that's what they should be eating, chicken fingers and french fries? Kids' menus are almost always terrible, unhealthy, boring. And by the way, kids should be eating what their parents eat, except a little less of it. And that's how we teach them. And it's so funny. It's like we know we have to teach our kids how to ride a bike, and it doesn't get done one time. You have to, you know, put them on, they fall off, put them on, and then you're running down the road with them until they're riding free. And it's the same thing with food. Kids' palate, it's their job to say yuck when you offer them something, and it's your job to keep offering it. It could take anywhere from 10 to 12 times of tasting something for your palate to accept it. And we too quickly label our kids picky eaters, or they don't like
who don't like vegetables.
Yeah, we're too quick to say that. Just keep offering it.
Fed Up is narrated by Katie Couric, who is also an executive producer. It's directed by Stephanie Sotig, and it opens today at the Angelica Film Center. My great thanks to its executive producer, Laurie David, for being on our show again.
Thank you so much for having me.